G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, August 24. John Barker joining you along with Joel Marshall and Daniel Nuttall. Joel, first Group 1 of the season is the Winx Stakes at Randwick, and unlike in the past 4 years, well, it's only been a Group 1 for 1 year, but certainly unlike last year, an intriguing event where we're not really, you just in previous years you've just been holding your breath that Winx has come back as good as ever, in which case she's just going to win easily, or not so easily in a couple of years. But it's quite almost refreshing to have no Winx.
Yeah, well, it makes form analysts work a bit harder trying to find the winner. I was thinking, sort of before Monday Noms, that we were going to see a really big field here, but 10, so maybe a little bit bigger than Winx Group 1 races, but... yeah, really intriguing race. What have we got? Only two that we've seen this preparation. Le Romain and Invincible Gem, both coming through the missile, and everything else resuming, including the new season four-year-old Very Elegant, who's going to cause, she's going to be a real sort of intriguing runner there on Saturday. Avilius is the favourite. He's two fresh runs in Australia that we've seen, have both been at a mile. He hasn't raced at 1400 in Australia yet, so there's the one little unknown for him.
And Daniel, you'd think that one of the first uppers will win this. They almost always, it's almost always been a first upper winning this race. Unforgotten, you've left her out. Is Unforgotten the forgotten one?
Possibly. There's a couple of these I did leave out. Not too sure how they'd had come back first up. I was pretty keen on Very Elegant, or put on top, as we've touched on, but yeah, as you said, Unforgotten could be one to surprise, but I think there's a couple of others from the Wallace stable which are resuming here and for good preparations, which might be a flashing light run first up and then follow into the spring.
Kings Will Dream, another interesting runner first up for Wallace. Caulfield Cup favourite, of course, injured himself in the Cox Plate.
That's not the only intriguing race on the Randwick program, because there's also one for the three-year-olds over 1300, one for the three-year-old fillies over 1200, and there's another one for the mares that sees the odd good filly, including the Golden Slipper winner, go around. We'll start at the start, which is race three as far as the black type's concerned, the Luxury Network up-and-coming stakes. And this is for three-year-olds v. the sex. It is over 1,300 metres, and it's a Group 3, Joel.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Superium here. I was tipping him first up in the Rosebud. I thought he did more than enough. We didn't collect off him, unfortunately, running fourth, but he was beaten just over half a length, and he was sort of off the bit quite early. It was a race they went along really quickly. The back markers dominated, and he was sort of just a little bit wayward in the straight. I thought he battled on really well. I just think the step up to 1300 is a plus. I think that Rosebud form will work out well. A Theory, number one, comes through the same race. She's in for second. Two, Luchicello, also through that race, is my third pick. And the best of the others, I've gone True Detective, who was opened up favourite and certainly ran very well in defeat in both runs this time in. But I'm keen on Superium, 5-1-2-3.
I'm sticking with True Detective here. He steps up into stakes class for the first time. Backed into a $1.60 favourite at Randwick last start, and did a bit wrong at the start and just couldn't catch Miss Seed up at the front there. Had it easy of a slow start. Did run on quickly off that slow race and just missed Miss Seed, who was in good form at the time. So I'm with True Detective. A Theory and Luciello next come out of that Rosebud, as Joel mentioned. Got a Theory just on top of Luciello. And I think Famous dives into the deep end here after impressive first up win at Newcastle. Might be a colt going places. 3-1-2-9.
The fillies go around in race five. The Dali Silver Shadow Stakes, three-year-old fillies, 1200 at Group 2 level, Joel.
Yeah, well, this is probably the most intriguing. You've got the Group 1, obviously, but just everyone wants to tell you Libertini's an absolute superstar. And look, I was keen. I had something on her first start off some good trials, and she ran really well. She was thrown in the deep end in the kindergarten, and then, of course, she went to Randwick, went to Scone, and won her next two. She's been trialling up a storm. In saying all that, just to veer a little bit around the pack, I'm going with Tenley, who's got the race form on the board to slightly more of a degree. She failed in the slipper and the size on wet track. She just didn't handle it at all in the slipper. They gave her another go on in the size, and it was just, I think, conclusive that she doesn't like wet tracks. She had the blinkers on in her two wins in the Piero Stakes and the Riesling. She went right past Exhilarates in the Riesling with the blinkers on top of the ground. So I just think that has her as the value. You know, you're getting around $5. Libertini for second. Nine Steel Diamond at 40-1. I could have a dollar on because I've been following her through her career. She ran really good time first up at Kembla. She's the full sister to Graf. I don't think she's totally out of it. And seven Catwalk showed promise in her first prep. She's in for fourth.
Yeah, I'm with you, Joel. I was in Tenley's corner as well. Just that win over Exhilarates in the Riesling last start, still in my mind. It was a terrific outing, and as you touched on, the two wet track starts, just complete fails there. So obviously doesn't like the wet ground, gets on top of the ground here, and I was happy to play around the short price favourite in Libertini, who obviously has trialled well, but still got to do it on race day first. So of course looked impressive in winning towards the end of those. Towards the end of her first preparation. This is a much tougher race though for her. So Tenley on top of Libertini. Let It Pour ran well first up at the Larose, but at big odds. Loom to win there, just sort of peaked on a run late, but wasn't far away. And then for fourth, I've got Catwalk, one I've got an opinion of also. 1, 3, 5, and 7.
First leg of the quaddie at Randwick on Saturday is race 6. It is the open sprint quality handicap. Mostyn Copper Show County quality over 1,200 metres sees the return of the very smart Godolphin horse Deprive, Joel.
Yeah, really interesting race here. They've got a strong hand, the Godolphin team, but I've gone slightly against them with Team Hawks, number 12, Trope. He's a more than ready entire out of a Galileo mare. Showed good promise in that first prep. He's got a really good sectional in him. Wide gates, sort of got back all those runs again. He's going to be getting back from that gate. But, yeah, I think he's got a good race in him, this bloke, and hoping it's first up on Saturday. But I'm certainly respectful of both Deprive and Cascadian. I'll put Cascadian in for second. This is the newcomer, the import of the Godolphin camp. Looked pretty smart sort of through his three-year-old season in France, just missed winning a Group 1 and was taken by his recent trial. He was climbing all over the backs of the place getters. Seven Deprive, well, talking about fast sectionals, he ran some sizzling ones in his two wins last prep. And then one Dreamforce, he really stepped up last prep to be dual Group 1 placed. So you've got to respect a horse like of that calibre in this. 12-6-7-1.
Yeah, pretty keen Deprive, and it's my best all day at Sydney. Yeah, I loved the way he went about things. Class preparation. Those two wins were terrific. They were, you couldn't have had any money on them first up, but the way he was able to get home was just pretty unbelievable to watch. And I think if he can replicate that, he can be winning this first up. Of course, this is a pretty tough contest, a Group 3. And there's a bit of, obviously, very decent horses resuming. Trope and Baller go in the numbers as well. First up here, both have good first up records, and I think one over Dreamforce, I think, was scratched, a red. Cascadian first up for Godolphin in Australia, but seven a special Deprive on 13-12-6.
Dreamforce is scratched. I would put Delectation Girl in for fourth.
The big one is race 7, Winx Stakes, 1400 metres, Group 1, standard weight for age. Bottom dollar for a Group 1, half a million, but I suppose they've got to save up for all that cash they're splashing out later on in the spring, or in the spring, this technically still being winter. And anyway, even with the bottom dollar, they've attracted 10 horses, six or seven of them already, Group 1 winners. So it's an intriguing clash, Joel.
Certainly is. I've lent the way of the mare, the new season four-year-old mare, Very Elegant. We saw the four-year-old Mystic Journey resume a winner last week, and I think she can do similar. She's been trialling well. There have been quiet trials, but she hasn't been getting her head up or over racing, which is a good sign. That's, I think, this the biggest thing that she had to sort of iron out to get to this, to measure up to against the older horses. She got better as the prep went on through the autumn. I think her class took her to Oaks win at 2400. She was very strong there. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I'm not sure she's going to be a cups horse. I reckon up to 2,000 is probably going to be her go. But I'm with her on top. Unforgotten, I put in for second. Yeah, she could be the unforgotten runner. She was really good first up in the spring last year. And in the autumn, she was going okay. Then they put the blinkers on in the Queen of the Turf, and she came from last and ran third. They've got the blinkers on for her first up, and she's been trialing well. So I reckon she's there to run really well fresh, better than perhaps she ever has. One Avilius, no real knock on him. We know how good he is, but we haven't seen him at less than a mile in Australia. So he's got to tick a new box. And two, Happy Clapper. How can you leave him out? Perennial chaser of Winx. 10-8-1-2.
Yeah, very elegant also. Didn't put a foot wrong. Wrong last preparation. That first up over this distance in the Vanity. As Joel referenced in the Winning Post, split two Group 1 fillies there, and then obviously stepped up and trip each time and was able to win a Group 2 and a Group and two Group 1s in the next two starts. I think she goes on top. Avilius can be sharpened up at 1,400 metres, I think. Happy Clapper, no Winks, will be happy. And nine Youngstar, love chucking in for four. I think she's a ripping mare. And of course, she'll get over further, as like some of these, most of these will, but I'm going to chuck her in the numbers. 10-1-2-9.
And last of the black type races at Randwick on Saturday's race 8. Toy Show Quality for fillies and mares over 1,100, as I mentioned earlier, sees the return of the Golden Slipper Kia Michi for James Cummings and the Godolphin Camp. And Daniel has spoken to Lee Curtis, who has Merrill here, who is drawn wide.
I spoke to Lee Curtis.
Oh, sorry, Joel. Yeah. Joel spoke to Lee Curtis, who has Merrill, who is resuming from Barrier 13. And we'll probably get better over further, which is probably why you've left her out of your four, Joel.
Yeah, I've left her out of my four. She'll be going in my quaddy, fifth top raider. The wide gate makes it a bit tricky first up, but Lee was pretty keen on her for, not necessarily for Saturday, but for this preparation. He doesn't think we've seen the best of her, and that's a good sign considering she's already won two Group 3s, and she's been placed behind Sunlight, so she's pretty talented. She missed the autumn with an injury, so yeah, hopefully she goes well for the... for the small, but pretty astutely Curtis stable. I'm with number four, Mitzi, here, though. I think the way she's trialling suggests she can just go right on with the promise she showed in the autumn. She's only won one race, and that was the maiden, second up from a break, but thrown in the deep end after that. Fourth in the surround, fourth in the Coolmore. As I said, I think she's been trialling up a treat. Five, Soothing. I think we just forget her Caulfield form. She's been below par there a few times now. She trialled well before that. She's trialled well since. She's 1-for-1 at Randwick, and better ground and a drop in weight. I think she can improve. No real knock on Kia Michi. She's taking on the older mares, but you know what we saw of her in the autumn was obviously pretty special. They're on wet tracks though. She was unplaced in the Sweet Embrace, and then she was able to be quite dominant on wet tracks. So this is going to be a dry track and tougher company. And 12, Into the Abyss, sort of a bit of a favourite of mine. Another one that finds it hard to win but hasn't had a lot of luck on occasions. She wouldn't shock. 4-5-2-12.
Yeah, with 12 on top, Into the Abyss. I did like her trial, finished behind Mizzy in that, sat up on the speed with Sunlight and thought she was good there. She was very unlucky last preparation. She was able to get a win, but she did place twice in Group 3 level, including a very close second to Multaja. With even luck, she probably has more than the one win next to her name. Mizzy and next trialled well in that same trial, as I touched on, ran on under a hold. Soothing back to Randwick suits, and Merrill in for fourth. I'll go wide in this quaddy though. 12-4-5-9.
Okay, that wraps up the black type at Randwick, and we have in fact covered the specials from Joel and Daniel. Joel's best, race 3, number 5, Superium. His value bet, race 5, number 1, Tenley. Daniel's best, race 6, number 7, Deprive. His value bet, you just heard all about it, race 8, number 12, Into the Abyss. The Valley is the venue for Melbourne racing on Saturday. Just the two listed races here, and the first of them, Joel, the Sepple Wines Carline Stakes, the sprint for 4 years old and up, has not attracted a big field, but fairly open race, you'd think.
Yeah, disappointing that we've only got the six runners, but there is some Group 1 form to work around, and I've taken that Group 1 form to run 1-2. Bonds away on top. He's only run at the Valley. He didn't have a lot go right, and that was in a Group 1. We saw him last prep win first up and then run really well in the Oakley Plate. Five, Spirit of Valor, the Coolmore Import, we saw in the spring, runner-up in the Scalacci and the Manicato, so he's clearly well-placed in a race like this, if he can repeat that form. Three, Assertive Approach, coming along well, rolled at odds on last start, but probably got beaten by a pretty handy one in the inevitable. And Oak Door, also coming off a first-up win. 2-5-3-1.
Spirit of Valor on top for me. That Manicato run was, yeah, huge as a reference. Joel, second run in Australia after going close in the Scalacci, or the Shelley that start prior. So on top, Spirit of Valor, Assertive Approach, nothing wrong this preparation. Seems like Mooney Valley will suit him. We'll go forward, take some catching down. Four in next, which is Ashlaw, and Bonds Away in for fourth. 5-3-4-2.
Right, I went around Spirit of Valor, thought might just benefit from this run. I went for Assertive Approach to beat Oak Door, Ashlaw, and Bonds Away. 3-1-4-2. The other black type race at the Valley is race 7, McMahon's Dairy Mackenzie Stakes for 3-year-old colts and geldings over 1,200, Joel.
Yeah, I really had no idea in this race. Tough, a lot of these resuming, and I've ended up just sticking with one that, well, talking through my pocket, I guess, a little bit, Laporum Star, who I was able to have a little bet on at his first start. It was a synthetic maiden. He's got to step up a bit, but he won with a fair bit of ease there, and he's drawn the inside gate for Ben Malum. So look, I've stuck with him. I do like number 4, Independent Road, possibly over a bit further, but he ran really good splits in both those runs in his first prep. Wouldn't shock me to see if he could figure over the 1,200. One high tail, he's probably got the best form on paper, placed in a Magic Millions behind Exhilarates. He mixed it up a little bit last prep, but still, you'd have to respect him. And then 3, Condos Express. I had him in the numbers last week in the vein, and they've elected to wait for this. Of course, he was a winner at the Valley last start. But no, this is a raffle for mine.
Yeah, Hightail on top for me. I think I agree. It's tough. I think there's 6 or 7 winning chances here. But always been a fan of this gelding. I think it was trending towards a forgettable preparation last time out. First 2 starts, Rosehill and Caulfield, finished down the field. But excuses were offered there. And then in that rich showdown race, the inaugural running off it in April, it's very good from a long way back, sat wide that race as well. So the run there was good, considering it was a bit against him. Resumed with a nice trial. So goes on top. In for second is Deep Force, who of course was talk of the town for a Moorfield debut, a big trial winner and a big jump out winner. And then bolted in on debut. And then last start, $1.20 got rolled, but there were excuses. They was taken out in front, and the race was set up for a horse sitting at the back and smoking the pipe, which is exactly what happened. Worth forgiving there, and can feature here at each way odds. Orca Hurricane races well fresh, and in for fourth I've got Condos Express, last start winner here. 1-9-2-3.
Yeah, I agree that it's a very wide open race, and for that reason went for Deep Force just each way, as Daniel explained there. Probably hasn't quite lived up to the early reps as yet, but not much luck last time, and could bounce back, can certainly run a place at least from Independent Road, Condos Express, and Hightail. 9-4-3-1. Specials, Joel, you start in the first.
Yes, I'm stealing your thunder a little bit, so jumping on the Tassie bandwagon here with the Brunton train shot of Irish on the backup from Caulfield last week. Thought he kept going through the line well enough to suggest he'd handle the step up to 1600, and I just think that Age of Chivalry Rocks the Castle form will be too strong for this. So he's the best, and my value is Strike Force, race 6, number 10. I reckon he's over the odds at around $19. Just took a few runs to find some form, find some fitness. He went to Bendigo and won on a heavy track last start. He doesn't need heavy, he can handle firmer ground, and he races well at the Valley. He drops 6.5 kilos, he'll be on speed. And I reckon he's way over the odds. Strike Force in race 6.
My best comes up in race 8. Of course, got plenty of time for in Taverson from the Bryce Kent stable. First up win was very good off the back of a very easy trial win. Sat wide at Mooney Valley and sort of had to make his run a little earlier than probably Benny Mellon would have liked. Then when hit the front, he sort of was a bit of a sitting shot and laid in. Usain Bowler came, sort of just had the run off him, and at the dream run was able to win. And Age of Chivalry, of course, is unlucky behind both of those horses. Came out and won well last week. Rocks the Castle, another who came out of that same race and ran second last week behind Age of Chivalry. So the form stands up and gets a right swing on Usain Bolt in his favour. So Tavistan, the best of the day, race 8, number 11. I think the value is race 3, 6, Talented. I was pretty keen on first up, didn't like the drift. It was $3.30 out to $6 on the heavy 8 down the Flemington Straight, and she just never really looked comfortable in it. Back onto a dry surface somewhat on Saturday, and yeah, just love that Talendert form around Microphone. I think she can bounce back. She's too good not to. I think $12 is well over the odds. Race 3, number 6, Talented, the best value for mine.
My best and value need to be switched around. So Muse, which was my best, it was going to have to be my value, up against Talented, mind you. Race 3, number 4, and my value, which is very short for a value bet, and therefore is now my best bet, is race 4, number 7, race 4, number 6, Algodon Miss. They're racing on the course proper at Morfordville on Saturday, and both you guys have done the form. We'll start with you, Daniel, and you start in the first with your value bet, Better Harden Up.
Yeah, there's only 5 runners after scratching early this morning. I thought it was a tough day to find some value at Morfordville. It's been the trend the last few weeks or so, but I was just, yeah, race 1-4, Better Harden Up at 4:40, 2:15 around a place in a field of 5, so got to run top 2, obviously. I love the debut win at back in January. That was under the care of Darren Weir there. It was a good win. She beat La Ten in that race. That horse has since franked the form and lines up in a good race at the Valley on Saturday. And then just in the heavy 9, not sure she loved it too much, but still battle on Gamely for second, just beaten half a length there. I think she's a really talented filly. It is a good little field, this, but I think she's got plenty of upside, and I'm happy to take anything above 350 with her. The best comes up, so that's race 1, number 4, and the best comes up in race 6, number 3, Tiara Star. Thought worked home quite nicely last start. Didn't have too much luck early on in the straight, but when did fend the line well, just sort of peaked on her run late and was beaten by a 7-year award, the stablemate, who had much more match fitness on his side. I think he'd go one better today, Tiara Star. Race 6, number 3.
My best is coming back from Darwin. Race 3, number 4, Sir Garfield. Ran some pretty good races there. Quite often that Darwin form can, through the carnival, when they go back to South Australia, they can often measure up pretty well. And he was running in the good 3-year-old races, 5th in the Guineas and 4th in the Derby. So I think he can run a really good race. Race 3, number 4. And my value bet in the last, race 8, number 4, Tambang Bessie, who seems to show her best form when resuming from a spell. She won first up last prep. She's 3 from 5, in fact. She's had 2 trials, and I thought she's shown enough in those trials to suggest she could run well fresh again in an open race.
Alrighty, up in Queensland, they are racing on the Gold Coast, and plenty of runners up there, plenty of value presumably, and again, Daniel, we start very early in the first.
Yeah, you're right, there is plenty of value. I think 4 or 5 of my top selections are all over $10 or thereabouts, so hopefully we can jag a value. It was tough to find a best bet. It was at such an open day's racing. I went with Miss Shanty in the first, racing consistently well, this mare, and over these longer trips. I really liked the run of Doomben 2 starts back. She ran on well from the back and then settled closer last start. Just no match for Lwendo, who I think will go on to bigger and better things. That stay from the Matthew Smith stable, but she rarely runs a bad race, Miss Shanty, and I think dropping 2 kilos now, I think she'll be hard to beat, and happy to take 350 thereabouts off her. The value comes up later in the day, race 8, number 10, Time to Play. Look, I just thought the last start effort at Doomben was pretty good. The fact that she was able to run 5th despite, you know, the sort of tough run throughout. I really like the way the horse goes about it. The Gold Coast start as well was quite good around She's Choosy. That horse then went to Brisbane and ran well in a much stronger race. Obviously there's some good horses, or some TARDIS and Albert's No Pussy, some horses that are in form, but I thought Time to Play, although it hasn't won in quite some time, it's getting closer, and with 2 kilos off the back for Corey Bayliss, carries 52 kilos, I thought it was worth an each way play at around the $16, $17 mark. So yeah, race 8, number 10, Time to Play, but yeah, plenty of value, I think, at the Gold Coast. We'll be going wide in our quaddies.
Joel, any Gold Coast thoughts?
No, nothing for me for the Gold Coast.
Alrighty, we move across the Nullarbor to Belmont. There's a very good race. There's a good mile race called the Peninsula Mile there on Saturday. BJ Ryan's selection for that is number 13, Snow Chino. His best, though, comes up in the second race to number 4, Sir Mambo. And his value bet is a race 9, number 3, a Bold Success. Earlier in the day, Joel, across the Tasman, they are racing. Interesting day's racing, in fact, at Ellerslie with amateurs riding and hunt turtles and hunt cups and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, the jump season sort of heating up there, and they're getting towards the Great Northern meeting. This is sort of a preview to that, the Pakuranga Hunt Cup meeting. My best is on the flat, race 3, number 3, Hurry Kane. Well, see, he was my best in the last race at Otaki last week, and yeah, the weather was atrocious. I think they did a good job to get through about 5 or 6 races, but those last couple were always going to be in danger. Anyway, we've saved our money for this week. Race 3, number 3. And the value is in the maiden hurdle, race 5, number 10, Handsome Blue, in a pretty astute stable. And look, made a few mistakes at its hurdling debut 2 runs back. The flat runs either side have been good. So I think it's going well. Just hoping it's taken a bit of improvement out of that hurdling debut. New Plymouth is the flat action on Saturday. Irish Flame is the best. Race 6, number 6, backing up off last week, was 1,200 to 1,600. Ran well for 4th. Will be fitter for that. Looks well placed here. And the value is Burton. Race 8, number 4. Trialled well and ran up to that. Just found one better on debut, but he can run well again. Race 8, number 4.
Alrighty, well that wraps up a big Saturday of racing around Australasia, but we kick on a Sunday, and speaking of jumps cards, we go to Sportsbet Ballarat for just the 6 races, and they are all jumps events, culminating in the last of them, race 6, the eCycle Solutions Grand National Steeplechase, 4,500 metres, Wells going for a 4th Grand National, and Daniel, you reckon that he can get it, despite having to give 4.5 kilos to Tallyho Twinkletoe.
I just think it's too tough to beat Wells. It's a good little race, that. But yeah, I think Wells of classes would just make him hard to beat in that. And yeah, I'm in an R&B, the 1 and 2. Obviously, that weight swing there puts the Pain Train runner in favour. But yeah, happy to stick with Wells in the last of Ballarat.
Yeah, it's a good clash, isn't it? 3 strong sort of winning chances. You've got the Pain Runner, Slowpoke Rodriguez, who gets the late turnaround, loomed up, had Wells beaten, but couldn't get past him. And then you've got Tallyho Twinkletoe coming through the hurdle, lightly raced New Zealand jumper, who I think will take to the... Well, he's already won over the steeples in New Zealand, and I think he'll take to these well, and I've lent his way 2 to beat Wells. And Slowpoke Rodriguez in for 3rd. Ablaze was my best for the meeting. It created a big impression at his Australian debut just last week. Quick backup for him, and It's a Clap of Thunder was my value, race 5, number 5.
Alrighty, that wraps up a massive weekend of racing around Australasia. First Group 1 weekend, and we are very nearly, next week we'll be one day away from the official start of spring, but we're pretty much already there. So pick up your winning post if you haven't already. And is what you will be requiring to arm you for all the racing from Friday through to Sunday, plus all your favourite columnists and features. Finally, our best $20 bet of the weekend. I think I'm back on the scoreboard, not at any great price, with Age of Chivalry last week. And I, this time, am going to go... I'm going to go each way, race 7, number 9, Deep Force at the Valley. Joel?
I'll go Randwick, race 3, number 5, Superium.
Yeah, I'll go the Valley as well. Race 8, number 11, Tavasan.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners, and we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.